Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we are on Tuesday. I'm Bob. This is The Horn. Conversation radio unlike anything other of which we are aware. Listener-supported radio live on the interweb tubes. It's not a big truck, you know. Right. It's a minute and a half past the hour. And, look, let's just get this out of the way. By the way, some of the audio problems seem to disappear. Well, no, maybe not. I don't know. I fiddled and fooled with the knobs and stuff, but maybe a little bit ugly just yet. At any rate, let's just get this out of the way early on. Fundraising has been rather sparse, and here we are coming up on rapidly approaching the end of July. It's the 26th of July, as noted. And, well, we're at a point where, shucks, we need to pull together a grand total of $125 just to get the regular chat room turned back on. Now, I realize a lot of you may not be chat room participants, but it is a significant portion of what we do here. And, well, it would be nice. Chat room participants have contributed, and well, we're a long way from making the July goal. Can I just say that? Yeah, we're in a deep, 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 deep hole. So if you are inclined to hit the PayPal button at headonradionetwork.com, please do so, or use the snail mail address. Either way is just fine. I hate beginning the program with a pitch for funding, but, well, damn, that's just what it is. At any rate, it is the Tuesday program, and leftovers from Moran Monday. Yeah, I kind of double-check. Yeah, it's still Tuesday. And as I noted in the show post that News Ninja Susan kindly put up for me, this is one of those where-do-we-begin kind of programs. Because, among other things, there's this wide variety of ick available out there that leaves one in a position of wondering just exactly where to start. Because there is, in fact, so much ick. Hi, Agnes.
Hi, Bob. You could start by saving Grandma.
What's wrong with Grandma? Both of mine are dead.
I didn't say it was your Grandma.
Oh, whose Grandma are we saving?
All Grandmas. And Grandpas.
All Grandmas and Grandpas?
Medicare.
Well, sure. And we will certainly make that effort. I guess what you're referring to is the address by President Not Sure that you didn't watch last night. Or the follow-up response address by the orange guy with the skin conditions. And
no,
yeah.
I did see our president.
Okay.
But I also saw Voldemort, or at least his identical twin.
Yeah, Boner.
Is that his name?
Yeah, John Boner.
I thought that was his condition. Just saying.
You are a funny one.
Aren't I, though? Ba-dum-bum. But I thought it was very decent of the president.
Barrel of laughs.
That's why you married me. So please call your representatives. I thought that was really cool.
What was really cool?
That President Obama asked everyone to call the representatives. They actually...
Yeah, it was cool and everything, but he was asking people to call their representatives so the representatives would come together and agree with him to cut Medicare and Social Security.
You can't agree to do that, and, you know, I've written our representatives.
Fat lot of good that does.
But
the only thing they're interested in hearing from you is, you know what? Dear Representative Ray Hall, I think Jesus was actually made out of coal. Do you think Jesus was made out of coal too, Representative Ray Hall?
Now, Bob, stop it. Now, I ask him if he had the decency to save wild horses, why couldn't he help save West Virginia?
You'll never get an answer. By the way, speaking of other so-called elected representatives of the state, you've heard me refer in the past to our newest senator, Senator Blanche Manchin. Now, there's nothing new in this, but God, it's kind of obnoxious when you get slapped in the face with it, isn't it? The New York Times, in its energy and environment section today, reporting on the financial ties of Senator Joe Blanche Manchin. You know, we call him Blanche Manchin because, well, frankly, he's Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas, only with better hair. Not exactly a tireless troubadour, a tireless crusader for human rights and social justice and, you know, all things good and liberal in this country. In point of fact, Agnes wrote him a letter saying, you know, dear Senator Manchin, please save Medicare. And gets back this waffly five-paragraph affair that basically says, thank you for writing me, go away. No, the only thing that matters to Blanche Manchin is coal. In the 19 months before the Senate election, this past November, Joe Manchin had reported operating income of $1,363,916 from a company called Enner Systems. Enner Systems? Yeah, that's the coal brokerage that he owns part of. Now, it doesn't matter. In the United States Senate, there's no such thing anymore as a conflict of interest. But Blanche Manchin, this is just further proof that he is, well, he's a poster child for being knee-deep in dirt. Enner Systems. Feh. But no. I'm sure you did. You know what I did? I'm going to tell you. Listen, no sense in not being candid about this. I went back and forth between President Not Sure's address last night and then the boner's response. By the way, since when does the other side get to respond every time the president wants to speak? Gee, I don't remember that always happening under W or Bill or Poppy or Reagan or Carter or Ford or Nixon, or LBJ, or Kennedy, or Eisenhower, or Truman. And that's even beyond before I was born. Well, but if that's the TV age. But now, if that one wants to address the nation, we have to find a white man to respond. And find a white man they did. John the Orange Crush Boner. And let me just say this. I happened to switch over to one of the local for-profit media affiliates. And first I watched President Not Sure, and then I watched Speaker Boner in glorious high-definition TV. And I'm here to report that high-definition television has its shortcomings. Like, the fact that it really does show up everything about you. I don't ever want to be on high-definition television. I mean, Jesus, last night in the chat room, I found out about my Nordic nose. I'm afraid for my nose to be seen in public now. I play. I kid. But my goodness gracious. John Boehner in high definition is something. I mean, you save that one to scare the children into going to bed. Or behaving. Or, Timmy, stop pulling your sister's hair or I'll play the John Boehner tape again. For those of you who are fans of science fiction, let me put it this way. If you could put a couple of hundred more pounds on him, John Boehner would be well on the way to being the rendition of the Baron Harkonnen from the David Lynch version of Dune. Okay? Because HD brings out depth and clarity and makes dimension much more comprehensible. And it wasn't just the fact that Boehner's orange. We all know Boehner's orange. Probably has something to do with his alcohol problem. Because we also know that he has one of those. I think he has Merlot on his cream of wheat. But no, it was the side angle. He didn't dare turn his head. Because he's got all of these things. Okay, second movie reference of the evening. Who's seen Uncle Buck? Hans, John Candy, the wonderful movie, Uncle Buck. Remember when he goes downtown to confront the principal who wants to tell him about his niece being she's scatterbrained. And she's this hateful thing who's got this monumental thing on her face that constantly the camera's picking up until finally in disgust, upon exiting, John Candy playing Uncle Buck flips a quarter to her and says, "Here's a quarter. Go downtown and pay some rat to gnaw that thing off your face." Remember that scene? Yeah. Well, John Boehner's got oodles of them just growing all over his face. And they're not even the same color as the rest of him. They're getting darker. They're, you know, those brown, moly things. When women have one, it's called a beauty spot. I mean, how does his staff address him in the morning? Is it like something out of David Lynch's version of "Good morning, my your beautiful evilness, sir"? His own flesh is rejecting him. So, suffice to say, that I didn't stay exclusively with the high-def broadcast. No. I bounced over to the No Reservations with Anthony Bourdain, where he was on the Amalfi Coast of Italy, and you know what? It was a lot more pleasant. Enjoyed it a lot more. Watching some crazy Italian chef dive off some rocky shore to bring up sea anemones for them to crack and eat raw on the coast and then go and cook into some... They deep-fried an entire octopus and built a red sauce around it. "Hey, Grandpa, what's for supper?" Good. I found it a hell of a lot more ennobling than sitting there being lied to by both sides about the debt fraud. Sandra, email. "Boehner's face in HD is as good as using the tossed salad man to scare the bad kids straight." You know what that means, don't you? Toss your salad. Yeah. Because I've lost all patience with this. neither side is telling anything. Well, the Repiglicans are just being Repiglicans. But the people that are supposed to be on our side are prattling this incessant foolishness that somehow or another, you and me, we gotta take it where the sun don't shine because of things that evil, vicious, rapacious, avaricious, godforsaken bastards on Wall Street did. And I'm sorry, I ain't buying. For instance, it's a little known fact, but it is true. You realize that a 1% increase in the FICA tax, would completely solve all issues regarding Social Security? Really? Full benefits. Because right now, even as we speak, Social Security is capable of paying full benefits through 2037. And after that, it rolls off to, like 95%, 90%, 85%. 1%. Well, I want government to keep their hands off my wallet and my Medicare and my Social Security. Because I'm a capitalist, freedom-loving merkin, and I don't like socialism. Ron Raleigh noting that Baron Harkonnen may already be covered. I think fat bastard Chris Christie of New Jersey has the Baron Harkonnen thing down already, including the nasty, imperious attitude. P.S., says Ron, those things are called skin tags, and tag your it, Agent Orange. Yeah, I know what that... I mean, I got a couple myself. I'm not proud of that, but we'll get to... One of these days, I'll go to a dermatologist. Yeah, Clayton writing in to say, yeah, I called my congressman. They hung up on me. tell you, it's tough. And thank you very much, Darlene, for kicking in. She says, for the chat room bill or whatever you need it for. And good one, Agnes! Agnes still has a fan club around here. And, one of these days, I don't know, maybe Agnes will come back in. But I don't know. Who knows? Maybe a few months from now or something. We're going to be making some changes around here that may make things, considerably more exciting, but none of that right now. A little announcement. You may recall me mentioning Yvonne's email suggestion about getting the horn off the grid. Well, Yvonne suggested that via email, and Mr. Gibson from the chat room out in Oregon, not that the chat room's in Oregon, but you know what I mean, put me in touch with somebody, and we've begun conversations along those lines, and it may be possible without the expenditure of hundreds of thousands of dollars to get the horn off the grid. And we're exploring those possibilities. So, wouldn't that be cool? Hey, what do you listen to from 6 to 9? I listen to the only radio program that talks the talk and walks the walk about sustainable energy. That's what I do. You can say that, maybe, sometime soon, hopefully. So, let's see, we did the TV review. Yeah, this one's in the stack. News Ninja Susan writing in. Congressman, Bob, at least you have a Congress critter to gripe about. As of today, I don't. I could say something rude here, but I won't. Calling Dennis Kucinich. Yeah, News Ninja Susan's Congress critter, Congressman Wu, bailed out today. Representative David Wu's stepping down after a good bit of substantially odd behavior. His staff was deeply concerned about his mental stability. They tried to get him psychiatric help. They were so alarmed by his erratic behavior that they demanded he enter a hospital for psychiatric treatment. He's been unpredictable in his performance, loud, sometimes angry. Some of them, they said kooky things to staff. And, of course, there's always an election to worry about. And David Wu resigned from Congress, a Democrat who has done some good work. Meanwhile, David Vitter soldiers on in the Senate, and he's depends. Yeah, right. Jeebus. Now, where to begin this evening? Well, we all know the disdain which I hold for the for-profit media. But golly, Ned! You know, last night I played you the radio clip of the Beckerhead as he compared... Still can't quite make it just flow. As he compared the murder victims in Norway to the Hitler Youth. Yeah. But that wasn't enough. You know, because the right wing, to one degree or another, is always out there sort of one-upping itself. And to tell you the truth, Pat Buchanan has been an evil son of a bitch, self-made. That was not a gender reference. Has been an evil son of a bitch for a long, long time. Mercifully, I don't have sound on this for you. Pat Buchanan. Wow. It's one of those things where you kind of got to strap in and gird up or whatever to even talk about it. Imagine. If someone on arguably our side of the political fence would say something, something nasty after a mass murder, how quickly they'd be off the air. Shoot, early incarnations of MSNBC threw Phil Donahue off the air just for opposing the illegal, unjust, immoral, criminal war against the people of Iraq. Goodbye, Phil! Maybe you can get your interview show back and talk to some more transvestites. Bye now! But not Pat Buchanan. He's on MSNBC on Morning Joe just about every time you turn around. The Wall Street Journal has done something like this as well. The Jerusalem Post has also made this argument. And Pat Buchanan has now chimed in. All three, Wall Street Journal, Jerusalem Post, and Pat Buchanan, arguing that Anders Breivik may have had a valid point. Just let that sink in. That a mass murderer may have had a valid point. But you see, Pat Buchanan's so goddamned evil that he gets, I guess he just, he's the crazy old uncle at the end of the bar. And set me up another one there, Louie. Name's Phil. I don't care, Louie, set me up another one. Double. Hold the rocks. Did I ever tell you about the time that the communists sold me out for alien abduction? You like wrestling, Jimmy? You know anything about Greco-Roman wrestling, Timmy? Ever been to a bathhouse, Timmy? Yeah, the Peter Graves character on Airplane and Pat Buchanan always sort of reminded me. They seemed, yeah. Buchanan said, and this is a direct quote, and I find it vomitous to even read this and share it with you. But we kind of have to. Because these sick thugs are out there on the for-profit media in some manifestation of it every day, day in and day out. Now, Mark Halperin got tossed off of, wrong phrase, got demoted from Morning Joe. I don't know, is he back yet? I haven't been watching. For saying that President Obama is a dick. Do you think the folks at NBC News might be able to find it somewhere in the last little tattered, shredded remnants of what passes for a soul to be done with Pat Buchanan once and for effing all over the following? Awful as this atrocity was, native-born and homegrown terrorism is not the macro threat to the continent. That threat comes from a burgeoning Muslim presence in Europe that has never known mass immigration, its failure to assimilate, its growing alienation, and its sometimes sympathy for Islamic militants and terrorists. Europe faces today an authentic and historic crisis. With her native-born population aging, shrinking and dying, Europe's nations have not discovered how to maintain their prosperity without immigrants. Yet the immigrants who have come from the Caribbean, Africa, the Middle East, South Asia, have been slow to learn the language and have failed to attain the educational and occupational levels of Europeans. And the welfare states of Europe are breaking under the burden. As for a climactic conflict between a once Christian West and an Islamic world that is growing in numbers and advancing inexorably into Europe for the third time in 14 centuries, on this one, Breivik may be right. Go and get me a bucket, I won't throw up. Breivik may be right. Of course, this is a guy who also famously once said Hitler had some pretty good ideas. And he's got a history. And no one inside the for-profit media will fire this fascist bastard. You know, it's moments, it's people inside moments like Pat Buchanan who let us all know exactly what the for-profit media are really all about. And what they're about is a combination of profit and ginning up conflict. It's possible that our pop culture correspondent David from Maine would say that I'm screwing up here by simply talking about this. You know, just let it go. But there are some things that we cannot simply let go. You know, it was in the course of conversation, I think, with Tracy last night that I made the remark that never forget and never again ain't exactly a bad idea. I mean, God Almighty, how old is Pat Buchanan? Isn't it time for him to shuffle off this mortal coil in his Brooks Brothers shoes that he's bought the same style of twice a year for the last 1,000 freaking years? Isn't it time for this sort of generational hatred to be gone and done? Does the nasty old creep have anything left to offer to the national discussion, the national debate, the national dialogue? I'm sick of it. And I know you are too. And in the midst of all of this prattling, you know, there's not even a point there. God Almighty, the name of the column is A Fire Bell in the Night for Norway. Like a fire bell in the night, wrote Thomas Jefferson in 1820, this momentous question awakened and filled me with terror. I considered it at once as the knell of the Union. He was talking, Thomas Jefferson was, about the debate over the Missouri Compromise, which the Dred Scott decision would declare in 1858, 38 years later, was unconstitutional in the first place, even though they weren't asked to pass on it, but that's how Roger Taney was. Yes, Pat Buchanan says that Breivik is evil, a cold-blooded, calculating killer. But as is so often the case with Pat Buchanan, it's a yes but. Yes, but he's got a good idea. Yes, but he's right. You know, to be Pat Buchanan, you have to be utterly, utterly, ignorant. The entirety of human history is a story of migrations and movements of populations. Yeah, I read a story the other day. I think Agnes tweeted it to me. We communicate almost as much by Twitter these days as we do by, and that's disturbing. But a monograph from a scientific journal article about the identification of the first anthropologically modern humans in southeastern Europe and eastern Europe. The monograph said southeastern Europe, but I couldn't figure out how you, because the site is in Ukraine. Kind of got to tilt the globe a little bit to make Ukraine southeastern Europe, don't you? But anyway. And it's a, you know, it was a fascinating scientific story of a dig at a rock shelter. You know, unassuming, nondescript. But lo and behold, here was this evidence of anatomically modern humans in Europe. And of course, since you're dealing with the artifacts left by them, and maybe occasionally a little bit of bone here and there, nobody can really talk about things like skin color. And since it was 25 or 30,000 years ago, nobody can talk about anything like religion or faith. But by God, here's Pat Buchanan. Well, it's the third Muslim invasion in 1,400 years, damn it. We got to nail the door shut. But this stupid, clueless, racist, xenophobic bastard doesn't have the brain function to look into why these migrations take place. At the population vacuums left by a Europe that was at war with itself somewhere, somehow, somewhen, for something on the order of 1,000 years. And has finally, maybe, sorta, kinda, we hope, figured out that that's not the best idea. An entire generation of young men gone in the hells that we now recognize in the history books as Verdun and the Ardennes. the battles in the Crimea, the Napoleonic Wars. And see, Pat Buchanan himself is a real, live, honest-to-Jeebus war hawk. He loves him some war. Without understanding that nature abhors a vacuum, and that populations like rivers flow and will find their seek and find their own level. I guess he's just afraid that somebody's going to build a minaret at Notre Dame. Because after all, Pat's a good, hardcore, pre-Vatican II Roman Catholic. He still misses his Latin masses. Probably has a church he goes to where they still do one. I wouldn't be surprised to find out that he's, you know, Opus Dei and wearing a piece of barbed wire around his leg and a hair shirt and that, Mabel, come over here and whip me a little bit. But this is more than just me bitching about an idiot. This is a signal moment in which we get to question the intelligence and the judgment of the for-profit media. And not just Pat Buchanan, and not just Glenn Beck, and not just Rush Limbaugh, but the whole filthy lot of them. And we get to ask as a consequence, or as an outgrowth of it, is there no decency left in this country? Because when you can pose on commercial media, when you can pose the question or make the assertion that maybe Breivik was right about some things, i.e. that the white Europeans aren't sufficiently worried about all those brown people, and granted, he said it on a right-wing website, and not on Morning Joe. But he's not two different Pat Buchanans. He's the same Pat Buchanan when he's prating away on MSNBC. With an understanding of the First Amendment and freedom of speech, but understanding also that that does not convey the freedom to spew filth via the accessibility of corporate licenses and corporate charters all over America. With an understanding that, as noted last night, that the Judge Learned Hand once said the remedy to bad speech is not to suppress the speech, the remedy to bad speech is more speech, hence I'm more speaking now. Is there not some threshold of decency? I mean, the next time that Pat Buchanan shows up on MSNBC, tell me, for those of you who watch the program, now, it seems like one of the primary sponsors of MSNBC, as far as I can tell, is Joseph A. Bank, the men's clothing store. Do they really want to be associated with that kind of what passes for thought inside the thin, runny dribblings the space between Pat Buchanan's ears that in most people is actually brains? I may have been mistaken, but when I read this, I fired off a quick note to Joseph A. Bank, because I actually own a couple other suits. And I said, you know, I'm not coming back in until this bastard's off Morning Joe, and you sponsor Morning Joe. Okay? Great, thanks. But I'm one voice. Hey, look. Hey, Hank, come here. Yeah, we got a letter from another crank about Pat Buchanan. But there are real questions of what the idea of a fourth estate means in this country. Because this guy, you know, if he was a cranky, old fart, and he was on a sitcom for, I think about the woman who played the wife on Everybody Loves Raymond. I mean, that woman is a flapping in the breeze, long gone, far out right wing freak. But you know, she did a good job on Everybody Loves Raymond. It was a funny show. Yeah, so. But this guy is seen as a serious voice for the American right wing. And what's more, the American right wing largely agrees with him.
Well, you know, Andrew Breivik, he wouldn't have done what he done if he wasn't upset at them goddamn Muslims.
Really? That's where the right wing is in this country now?
Yeah, I wouldn't have had to kill him if he...
I mean, that's like blaming the lynching victim not on the Klan, but on the guy at the end of the rope. Once removed, Anders Breivik hated Muslims, so he decided to kill his own countrymen. Rotten-ass little mama's boy.
A fire bell in the night for Norway.
And what he's doing with the rest of the body of this damn thing is he's trying to deflect the obvious comparisons of Anders Breivik with neo-Nazism.
His writings are now being mined for references to U.S. conservative critics of multiculturalism and open borders. Purpose? Demonize the American right, just as the berserker's attack on Representative Gabrielle Giffords in Tucson was used to smear Sarah Palin and Timothy McVeigh's Oklahoma City bombing was used to savage Rush Limbaugh and conservative critics of big government. Only because they were directly responsible. Guilt by association, which the left condemned when they claimed to be its victims in the Truman-McCarthy era. Except for the fact that Truman, the McCarthy era, actually, well, you know, he was falsely accusing people of things they hadn't done. Has been used by the left since it sought to tie the assassination of JFK by a Marxist from the Fair Play for Cuba Committee to the political conservatism of the city of Dallas. Yeah, because there weren't any the killed JFK crap. No, none of that was going around Dallas. But Europe's left will encounter difficulty in equating criticism of multiculturalism with neo-Nazism. For Angela Merkel of Germany, Nicolas Sarkozy of France, and David Cameron of Britain have all declared multiculturalism a failure. From votes in Switzerland to polls across the continent, Europeans want an end to the wearing of burqas and the building of prayer towers in mosques. What'd I tell you? He's afraid there's going to be a minaret at freaking Notre Dame. And then, of course, the inevitable martial allegation. The Schengen Agreement itself, which guarantees open borders within the European Union to all who enter the EU, is under attack. None of this is to deny the presence of violent actors or neo-Nazis on the European right who bear watching. It's just, not this Nazi, not this neo-nationalist war criminal. Jesus. But don't think it's just Pat Buchanan. Maybe it's generational. Really. Maybe it is honest and for truly generational. Because I got another freak here. I got another freak here for whom I do have audio. It's It's almost too much to tolerate. At some point, I think I'm going to have to get an anti-emetic just to get through the program. No, I've got real... No. And, you know, same septuagenarian freak, or, you know, same septuagenarian attitude, same antediluvian mindset, different freak.
Hey, this is Karen, who says, I am deeply disturbed by the Norway shootings, especially because they were perpetrated by a Christian. Obviously, I think he's a sick and troubled man and did not represent Christianity as a whole. But can't we say the same thing about the Muslim jihadists? Can't we say that they, like the Norway shooter, only represent a lunatic fringe of their religion?
No, I don't think we can say that, because if you read in the Quran, it tells you to smite the infidels. It tells you to wage war against the infidels. It says that there are two sides of the world. One is either the Dar al-Islam, which is the world of Islam. The other is Dar al-Harb, which is the world of war. And everybody who's not under Islam is at war. So the Quran teaches war and teaches jihad. The Bible teaches peace, teaches love, teaches the forgiveness of God. It's a totally different thing. I don't think that guy in Norway was a Christian. The Christian churches in Norway have all disavowed him.
Actually, this morning on the news, they're saying that he was deranged and that he actually believes he's in some war and that he's acting out of that place.
Yeah,
so,
well, I mean, but he had all kinds of strange writings that don't reflect in any way in Christianity. What else?
Thank you, Media Matters. Yeah, because there's nothing in the Bible that says smite your enemies. There's nothing in Deuteronomy that says kill every last man, woman, child, beast of the field, thing that flies or crawls or slithers upon the earth, and take their land, for I, the Lord God, have given it unto thee. That's not in there, except it is. Religion. I guess they just gotta die off, don't they? And then, you know, then there's Radio Rwanda. I mean, see this horror in Norway. It won't go away. Radio Rwanda. A promo for Bill O'Reilly and the O'Reilly Factor. Why is the liberal press playing up to the Christian angle? Playing up the Christian angle. Why is the liberal press playing up the Christian angle? Well, I don't know that the liberal press is or are. But it's kind of hard to get away from the fact that he was. Because he just sort of professed it all over himself, didn't he? Profess the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is a guy who was expecting to be shot down, wanted to make sure that he didn't go unshriven. But all of this is lost on the likes of a, you know, Bill O'Reilly.
Impact Haven, let's bring in Fox News analyst Mary Catherine Hamm and Alicia Menendez, who's in for Juan Williams tonight. Juan will join us in a moment to talk about his new book on NPR. Both ladies are in Washington this evening. So, were you offended by the New York Times highlighting the word Christian in its headline, Mary Catherine?
Yeah, look, I think it's a problem. First of all, I'll say, as I'm a political animal, but I try very hard in these instances not to immediately jump on my political hobby horse and figure out where I can ride it immediately in the aftermath of a tragedy like this. And I think a lot of other people would do good to do that as well. I think the New York Times, many liberals, activists certainly, desperately want an analog to extremist Islam so that they can sort of pat themselves on the back for being equal and making this equivalence. But you know what? A lot of times the term used for this guy, and if you read his writings, it's certainly not mainstream Christian fundamentalism in any way, shape, or form. In fact, he talks about paganism. As with many crazy people, it goes down a rabbit hole. But here's the deal. They've been referring to him as a Christian fundamentalist. Well, they refer to the Duggars in Arkansas as Christian fundamentalists, too. So which is it having lots of children that makes you a crazy, violent threat, or is it killing lots of children?
Okay.
I mean,
well,
the equivalence is just insane.
We can find, Alicia, no evidence that this man practice Christianity at all, anywhere, at any time, Wasn't associated with any church, as far as we know. Okay? Didn't carry a Bible around. No educational background in that regard. Totally secular guy. But now he's a Christian terrorist. So I think this is just patently dishonest.
And when you go back and you look for the original source, it's based on an AP article where, as you said, you had one police officer speculating that he spent time on these Christian sites. So I, as a Christian, find it a little dishonest. I find it erroneous, and it's unproductive. To me, it looks like lazy reporting, much like you had the Washington Post.
No. The reporter didn't write that headline. The editors wrote the headline. It's page one.
Okay, so it's lazy editing.
That's the big kahuna. That's the big kahuna. This is above the fold, banner headline, throw it up there again. Porter had nothing to do with this. This was, we sit down,
we decide. Okay, so then can we agree that it was lazy editing?
Wait, Alicia, I want everybody to know how this works. This is, the editors in the New York Times sit down. They decide what their lead story is going to be and what their above the fold headline is going to be. And then they put it there. Porter has nothing to do with it. Okay? This was an intentional, without a doubt, intentional brand of a mass murderer as a Christian. It is appalling. This is a serious situation, ladies. This isn't a...
You know, Bill, were the Crusades appalling? Because there was a lot of killing done in the name of Christ there. Was the Inquisition appalling? Because that was entirely killing in the name of Christ. Were the Salem witch trials appalling? Once again, killing in the name of Christianity. The entire sorry 2,000-year history of Christianity is a history of murder, torture, torment, mayhem, and bloodshed. But that's lost. But it's not lost on him. I suspect Bill O'Reilly knows the reality. But he's not into using his brain too much. And he is interested in advancing the right wing. And the right wing must be able to tell itself, see, no, we're not valuable. We're not violent. We're Americans and we love Jesus and capitalism and we're just trying to say. I take you back. Because I read this at the end of the program last night as time was running out. Some of you may not have caught it. This is fairly important. I take you back to the letter I received from our buddy John in New York. One of the things that sickens me amid a story that's sickening on every level is that I know we'll be force-fed so many apologies for religion in the next few days. You know, well, this isn't what Christianity's all about. How about that? Let me, Joe, what's the date stamp on this, John? Yeah, that was 4 days ago. Before O'Reilly ever said a sickening word. Before Pat Buchanan ever penned his "The Muslims Done Had It Coming." You all saw him. He had a gun. Come back, Shane. Now, John says, you know, we're going to be force-fed so many apologies for religion in the next few days. You know, well, this isn't what Christianity is all about. Bullshit! The entire fraudulent enterprise is a grotesque death cult, a pyramid of lies that glorifies death and demeans life. Just like fascism and corporate... Oh, write this down! Just like fascism and corporatism and capitalism, which is why it's been so historically easy to overlay those things on top of Christianity. There was a short time, 2 millennia ago, when the church had a chance to focus itself on the life and sayings and transcendent mystical aspects of Jesus' life, but they decided to focus on his death instead. So we get these disgusting ideas of sin and judgment and the better world in heaven, which means death is deserved by some and not a tragedy, and the world as it is not worth protecting or improving. John continues, the problem with mainstream Christianity churches is that it gives cover to the real crazies. Imagine if there were times and places where murder was socially acceptable, on Sunday mornings, in the churches, for instance, when it's done by a special class of people. You know, there are cases where this has happened in history. Wouldn't it then be much harder to prosecute people for actual murder? Wouldn't we get people going on the media and saying, well, that murder was wrong, but ours is okay? Same thing happens when Christians defend their death cult. No, they say, that man with the exact same core beliefs as us was crazy, but we're totally fine. So long, John says, as Christianity or any fundamentalist religion is socially acceptable, we'll be cursed with more instances of religious-based mayhem, and nobody will be allowed to bring up the root of the problems, which is not insanity, but Christianity. And so the New York Times actually gives a little bit of sauce to the goose that's been given to the gander for years now, another Muslim killer. Well, in this case, he was another Christian killer. They don't like it. The gander don't like the goose's sauce. You know, we've all been, some of us watched last night as president, not sure. By the way, let me just say this. I kept looking at, and I noted early in the program, since when does the president give a speech and always there's a response, a rebuttal? I dare say you'll not find it as commonplace in the history of in television history, and certainly not in radio. State of the Union? Sure. Every time he opens his mouth, not so much. And I kept asking myself again, why? And then it dawned on me, wait a minute. This is a set piece. We're back in the Hall of Grand Kabuki. President Not Sure gave that speech last night specifically for John Boehner. John Boehner then came on and said, well, I believe that a big government means a small people. What the f*** does that mean? What are we, the Shire now?
Oh, we're all hobbits. We're all Keebler elves.
But I guess that's the most that you can get out of a John Boehner, considering the sobriety issues. But it was. It was cover. It was cover for John Boehner to try to reel in his out-of-control party and get the deal done. A correspondent for CBS News tweeted that Boehner was heard as he was walking away. Man, I never signed to go on mano a mano with the President of the United States. Now, I know, this program goes all over the world, so this metaphor may be lost on some folks. You ever been to wrestling? Tonight, from the Martin Civic Center, Martin, Alabama, the Martin Civic Arena. It's Saturday night wrestling. Tonight, the Blue Marvel will take on the Red Menace. They've got a history of bad blood. And the Blue Marvel wants revenge for the Red Menace's last dirty takedown. And so you go. And you watch, and some friend of the Red Menace will come out of the crowd and hit the Blue Marvel over the back with a folding chair. Oh, that's dirty, dirty, dirty. And the Red Menace will be disqualified. But if you hang around the back door of the armory and you just wait, a little bit later, you'll see the Red Menace and the Blue Marvel sitting at dinner together, clinking beer mugs, talking about how they sure fooled the rubes again.
That was a good one, Bill. Absolutely, Fred.
And a week later,
at the Guntersville Civic Center, beautiful Guntersville, Alabama, see the Blue Marvel defend his title against the Red Menace, disqualified in the last round, and looking for revenge.
And they'll be clinking mugs after that one, too. It's a con. It's a game. It's blue smoke and mirrors. And that's why that whole set piece was done last night, to give cover to John Boehner. Because you'll notice the president's remarks were, some Republicans, there are Republicans who... Never called out Boehner, did he? No, he didn't. But by God, if you read the for-profit media this morning, it was just full of it. Well,
oh, the Blue Marvel sure gave it to the Red Menace last night, didn't he?
Meanwhile, there are things going on not at all inspiring. We're told that we're in a crisis regarding the debt ceiling. Why then, as noted last night, is the GOP House of Representatives absolutely stalker fixated on attacking the EPA? Why? Over at Huffington Post, a report today in which you may read the following. The House of Representatives is busy with legislation aimed at repealing environmental regulations and stymieing conservation efforts. The Interior and Environmental Protection Agency spending bill for fiscal year 2012 contains policy riders added by panel Republicans to thwart White House-backed initiatives on everything from the EPA's regulation of greenhouse gas emissions to conservation efforts in the Grand Canyon. It would halt new regulations on mountaintop removal mining and prevent the Fish and Wildlife Service from listing new species under the Endangered Species Act. The chairman of the House Appropriations Committee's Interior Subcommittee is a man named Mike Simpson, a Republican from Idaho.
Idaho!
Now, why in the hell does he give a rat's rear end about mountaintop removal in Appalachia? After all, coal companies out in Wyoming and Montana will benefit greatly by a cessation of it. Why is Mike Simpson of Idaho at war with me, my friends, my family, my colleagues, my neighbors, and my fellow Appalachians? Why does Mike Simpson of Idaho want to see more of our babies born screwed up? Why does he want to see more Appalachian people die? Because he's a Republican. And he's working hand in glove with my congressman, Nick Joe Rahal. Because we're not dying fast enough here. But Radio Rwanda can't cover that. Radio Rwanda can't cover anything. Radio Rwanda's only purpose is to give cover to right-wing killers. Sickening ink it. So we've reached the top of the hour. We'll take a little break and come back. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. Thank you for two very kind and very generous donations. We'll get the chat room paid for as soon as the show's over. We are deeply in the hole for the month of July. And by deeply in the hole, I mean something on the order of $1,500 in the hole. So, you know, the upshot, the cool thing is that's only 150 thrifty 250 contributions. Any will be a big help. Like I said, we're listener supported. And you are why there has been a horn for all these years. I for one, admire your determination. We'll be back.
This isn't Alabama. Oh, how will I know? I'm in central Germany, where I love to go. Then how come I am seeing right in front of me? In central Germany. My Lord, there flies a rebel flag in central Germany. Mercy. I was riding peaceful on this train. In the scenery and melody in my brain. Then stuck rebel flag in central Germany. A massive Confederate flag in central Germany. Oh boy, let's rock.
preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Total Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Total Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No. See, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap! There's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Total Genius. We got your soap right here.
And don't forget about that body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Tyrone Gale. Last week's heat wave may have affected Rush Limbaugh's reasoning abilities. Instead of listening to actual climate scientists, Limbaugh goes with his gut.
I have a theory about global warming and why people think it's real. Go back 30, 40 years when there was much less air conditioning in the country. When you didn't have air conditioning and you left the house, may in fact have gotten a little cooler out there. Because sometimes houses become hot boxes. 30, 40 years later, all this air conditioning. And it's a huge difference when you go outside. When you go outside now, my golly, is it hot. Oh, global warming.
For this story and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Every time I hear that freak, I just think $50 million a year. Not that I'm jealous or anything, but $50 million a year. If that jiggling beast actually went out in this heat, he'd melt like a Jabba the Hutt made of wax. By the way, for those of you asking, the song in question there was A Rebel Flag in Germany by Jason Ringenberg. That song has the air of truth about it, doesn't it? You only write a song called A Rebel Flag in Germany if you've actually been in that train in Germany going by and go, holy shit! And seeing the Confederate battle flag out your window somewhere in central Germany. You know what? It wouldn't surprise me at all to find that neo-Nazis in Germany fly the Confederate battle flag because they're not allowed by law to fly the Hakenkreuz, the swastika. Jesus. But, you know, it is all over Europe. That sort of ignorant, knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing. And who's to say that the United States doesn't and hasn't contributed somewhere along the way to the fact that we didn't stomp the last of them out? You know, it goes back to my argument that maybe hanging a few Confederate generals would have been the thing to do. Maybe hanging a few more Nazis would have helped too. You know, the low-level ones. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. We'll have more fun. Hey, welcome to the program.
Brother Bob.
Hey, Cossack, what's happening, man?
Not much, self.
You know, trying not to just, you know, run screaming into the late afternoon light.
I know that feeling. A couple of things I want to touch on. First, why is it that they never mention that of that $14 trillion deficit, $12 trillion is directly attributable to the bailouts and the trillions of dollars that the Fed has placed at the disposal of banks and Wall Street?
Because it's inconvenient? Because it doesn't fit their meme? It's like saying, why don't they attribute it to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? You know, granted, that one is still perpetrating those wars, but people might be reminded that, you know, dim leader got them started. Just like he got the bailout started.
Yeah. But, you know, why isn't, you know, why don't they make that point? Why don't they make the point that, yeah, Wall Street has recovered, and how has it recovered? By the Fed placing these trillions of dollars at their disposal, which they pick up at virtually zero interest, and lend it out at even, you know, if they even lend it out at 3%.
Yeah, because they sit on a bunch of it. You know, I think, Cossack, maybe, you know, if we apply Occam's razor and go for the simple, elegant answer, it's because, you know, Wall Street owns the for-profit media, and therefore the for-profit media is not going to, in its own nest, and therefore, the, you know, boiling it down a little bit more, the for-profit media are wholly and entirely and utterly and irrevocably, irredeemably corrupt.
True.
Does that work?
That could be at least part of it. Also, have you noticed how quickly it went from an act of terrorism to an act of a lone madman?
I think I mentioned last night the best that Fox Radio Rwanda could say was, it appears to be an act of domestic extremism.
Yeah. But
can't say the T word, because, you know, dude's white.
Yeah, I was going to say, how is it that in all these cases, like, what was that lunatic's name of the Unitarian Church? Raider.
Of the which?
Scott Rader, was it?
Rader was the BTK killer out in Kansas.
Okay.
Yeah, he had been a Lutheran or Presbyterian or Episcopalian deacon for, you know, a couple of decades.
You know, all of these things suddenly.
I'd forgotten about him. Thank you very much, Cossack.
You know, all these people suddenly become lone assassins, lone jerks. They never mention the people that, you know, are behind them, like I said, the Unitarian guy who had tons of O'Reilly and Handy books.
Oh, no, okay, yeah, you're talking about Atkinson.
Atkinson, who went into the Unitarian Church and shot up the children's production of Annie.
Right. That guy.
Yeah, has books by Hannity, O'Reilly, Savage on his bookshelf, leaves a manifesto, says he can't take out the godless heathen liberal leadership, so he'll take out some of the people who put him in office, even though, you know, there's nobody in East Tennessee who could conceivably vote for Nancy Pelosi, but, you know, we're talking about right-wing mentality. The other thing, though, that in the course of this conversation causes me to think about is that I think the right-wing for-profit media prefer to describe somebody as a lone gunman. Also, whereas you and I and other decent people tend to look at his affiliations, because people on our side of the political divide, Cossack, see people as parts of communities. It's actually a function of the fact that we believe in community, and we figure if a community has a problem, that it has to be fixed, lest more of it happen again. Whereas the right wing does not believe in community. The right wing is comprised of people who believe that they're all sitting in their own little rowboat, waiting for the rising tide to lift them. You know what I'm saying? They are, you know, because anything that good that happens in America, just look at their theming and their framing. America was made the great nation it is by people picking themselves up by their own bootstraps.
Yeah. Well,
when it's never happened once, somebody helped somebody along the way.
Well, and the fact that, you know, you have all these people who supposedly picked themselves up by their own bootstraps. They all had help, as you said, along the way. They all had help. Rockefeller did not grow rich on his own. He was given help.
Especially sure.
At the beginning.
Well, and you know, look at, in the modern era. Look at Bill Gates. Bill Gates is he's a, by God, he's a self-made man. No, he's not. Bill Gates is living proof of that old joke about what's the best way to go about making $1 million. Answer: start with $999,999.99 and go buy something for a penny and sell it for two.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as the self-made man.
No.
The entire history of humanity, let alone civilization, militates against that. The word, I'm sorry, Cossack, but just looking at the history and prehistory of humanity, the worst thing that could possibly happen, and, you know, this comes up through the Middle Ages, the Renaissance, for as long as the church held the sway that it held, the Puritans in Massachusetts, the worst thing that could happen to you was to be shunned by your group.
Exactly.
It meant that you were a dead man. I mean, my penchant, I don't know how I'm supposed to pronounce it, for all things old and Roman. In the days of Republican Rome, they had no prisons. They barely had a jail. They had a place that they would stick you until they either throttled you or threw you off the Tarpeian Rock. But if you were in the elite class and you were caught doing dirty, they would pass a sentence of exile on you that was very formal in nature, in which you were to be denied fire and water within however many stadia of Rome.
Right.
So if they said within 500 miles, well, that meant you went to live in the trading outpost of Marseille. Or maybe you went over and you lived at Caesarea or some such.
Correct. And also, another interesting thing. Like I said, all of these are lone nuts, but they never talk about the fact, like that lunatic in, Oregon, Washington, who decided he was going to go down and take out the Tides Foundation.
California.
California. But oddly enough, he even said, I was just doing what
Glenn Beck told me to do.
Correct. But amazing how quickly that disappeared You know, that was not stressed. It's not like he suddenly woke up one morning and decided, oh, I'm going to take out the Tides Foundation. No. It's because Glenn Beck was riffing on it constantly. Somebody ought to kill these people. Okay. I guess I'll do it. But, you know, they don't talk about what motivates these people. Like, what motivated that lunatic in Norway? Pam Geller. You know, the... The beginner of the Ground Zero Mosque debacle. You know.
I saw a breakdown of all of his references in that manifesto. And it was, I kid you not, breathtaking. Pam Geller was there. There was another outfit. There were dozens of them.
And what was that Dutch nut job, Gert von Wilders?
Yeah, Gert Wilders. Yeah, and there's the Beckerhead bragging on his show yesterday. At the same time, he was comparing the murder victims to Hitler Youth, bragging about having had that creep on his program.
Yeah, and it's interesting that. Beck was comparing these kids to Hitler Jugend, whereas, you know, what kind of people organize in camps for kids to force ideology on them? Oh, you mean like the Christian youth camps? Is that what you're talking about?
Or the John Birch Society camps, or the teabagging camp that's going on somewhere around St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yeah.
You know, who'd have a camp that was just political?
Exactly. Well, you think these things might have something to do with
it? Kind of hard to avoid the idea, isn't it?
It makes my head hurt.
You know, it's like Robert writing from Australia, and he says, people pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps. Well, you know, and this is elegant, you know. Who made the boots and the straps?
Exactly. Well, I was going to bring that up, that surprise, surprise, even Robert Heinlein in one of his books made that point. He says, there is no self-made man. What, you're going to take off for the wilderness and just be a self-made man? Fine. Who made the shovel that you're going to take? Who made the rifle? Who made the clothes?
Yeah.
Where are you as a self-made man when you have to rely on all these things that are made by other people?
Cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. Oh, and bring up something from way back when. Remember I was saying how women choose their impregnators, essentially, and there was a lot of firing back about well, how about rape and how about coercion and so forth. That's the problem, Bob. In my book, these things simply don't exist. It is beyond my comprehension. It does not compute, as the old saying goes.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that it's out there. I understand that there are scum out there. But in my world, as far as I'm concerned, I have never gone that route. I simply can't wrap my head around
it. Right, you can't conceive of it. And yet,
right.
And yet, more people on the planet are related to Genghis Khan than any other single individual.
Correct. And that wasn't by choice.
Well, I mean, you know, it was kind of like, and even in that context, oh, Jesus, Genghis Khan had 900 wives. Well, God Almighty, Solomon had that many. David, you know, everything that moved.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, between those two, the crack of dawn had to be careful at the first thing in the morning.
Exactly. And wasn't it David that had one of his right-hand generals assassinated because he wanted his wife?
Yeah. Yep, it was.
There we go. There we go back to our biblical roots.
Yeah, but see, there's and you know that's like that freak. I guess it was Hermy, wasn't it? A couple of weeks ago, who said, well, you see, Islam is not just a religion; it's a law code too, Sharia.
Yeah.
And a couple of days later, I got a note from Texas Betsy saying, if you take the law out of Judaism, all you've got is what was the line? Because I cackled a little bit when I saw it. If you take the law out of Judaism, all you have left is history and chicken soup.
Yeah. Yeah. And what are the Ten Commandments, if not law?
Bingo.
Yeah. Just ask that Nimrod judge in Alabama.
Don't make me think of Roy Moore. See, you brought his name into it. Damn it, Cossack. The things you do. Brother, I hope you're having a good night. We got them stacked to the walls here, so I'm going to roll along. But good to hear from you.
Good to hear you back.
Yeah, well, and good to hear from you, brother. Take care.
All right, take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
The Cossack calling from North Florida. And let me just say this right now. 5 out of 6 lines are lit up and on hold. If you're on one of them, and you can, please stay. I will get to you. I promise, okay? Promise. Because I'm just that kind of guy. Hey, welcome to the program.
Uh-oh, I've been summoned.
Well, I did conjure you a little bit.
Yes, I was actually wondering if you were going to play the Dr. Wu song for David Wu.
No, that just seemed that's a little too cruel. The guy's got some real issues, apparently.
Yeah, he seems to have some issues to.
Are you with me, Dr. Wu? Are you really just a shadow of the man that I once knew? Are you crazy? Are you high? Or just an ordinary guy?
Yeah.
The things that are stuck in my brain.
Well, apparently he's had a...
He was harassing a teenage girl? Is that what I...
He had a problem before, though. I don't think like 10 years before, so this is reoccurring for him. I think what's really happening is they want to cover his sexual misconduct. So they're just throwing out he's really mental illness. And, I think there's definitely a backstory there, but it's David Wu, for God's sakes, in Oregon. It's not like he's a... Anthony Weiner. And
No, backing up. No, he's a voice we don't need to lose, though, because
you know
that with this resignation that there are all kinds of teabaggers all over, you know, all over that chunk, and they're there too. Who are? We got to get an American in there who loves Jeebus in there.
Yeah, I understand completely. I mean, look what's happening with Wisconsin. I guess somebody put up a video how hard it is to do the voter ID thing.
Oh God, this is ridiculous. I mean, this sounds like something out of a MASH episode, David.
Did you hear the latest though?
Well, I mean, okay. Here's what I know. So they passed the law saying that you can't vote without a picture ID that you have to get from the DMV.
Right, right.
So then, the minute that gets passed, by executive action, Scott Walker closes a whole bunch of DMV offices in Democratic areas and extends the hours of the DMV offices in Republican areas. And then a kid goes to try to get an ID from the DMV, and they look him up and say that his bank account doesn't have enough activity in it lately, and therefore he can't have one.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is we just shrug our shoulders and we say, well, they're going to challenge the votes, but we just got to get out the vote more. And you look at the voting turnouts from election to election, and I can guarantee you that's millions of people off the voter roll. How are you going to replace that? You're not.
Well, that's the whole point. And here's another fun fact out of Wisconsin. there's a little bitty box on the form. And if you don't check the box showing that your ID is for voting purposes, they charge you $28. At that point in time, it becomes a poll tax, which is illegal, unconstitutional even.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you say you're not going to replace that. I mean, consider that you've got to show a driver's license or some sort of DMV issued official state ID. You know, this thing has a nuance to it, David, that I find interesting, because there are people who live in metropolitan areas who do not have driver's licenses because they do not operate motor vehicles. There are some people who do not want to operate motor vehicles. There are some people who believe that operating motor vehicles is an unnecessary assault upon the planet at this point in time. Now, which way are they most likely going to vote?
Yeah, I
except
I
the ones imagine. That are going to run around voting green.
Yeah.
But understanding that, it's hard not to come away understanding this, is that you're disenfranchising people for their philosophical views. You know, this isn't some right winger out there saying, you know what, I've got me a driver's license in my wallet that I issued to myself as a free sovereign citizen. I read all about it in the Turner Diaries. It's not what we're talking about here.
It's caging on steroids.
Yeah.
And Greg Palast and Brad Friedman told us this 10 years ago.
Yeah, we may have to start saying peace be upon them when we mention their name, because they're showing a bit of a prophetic streak.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing. I mean, this is the thing. Here's the thing that really it might surprise some listeners what I'm about to say. The whole thing with Bernie Sanders coming out and saying it might be a good idea to primary Obama. No, it won't. No, it won't, Bernie. No, it won't. And I'll tell you why. This question needs to be addressed, Bob. It needs to be addressed now. Who, dear listener, are you going to primary Obama against? Who? And before you answer that, where are you going to get the money from? And before you answer that, where are you going to get the DC connections from? And before you answer that, where are you going to get the manpower to get this person into office? And your answer is, I don't know.
With a side of I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, look, I'm an old fart, right? You know,
right.
48 and everything. But I remember when Bill Bradley ran against Al Gore in 2000.
Right.
And he was doing it, David, not because he thought he was going to win, but because he wanted to make sure that the debate was, you know, that things were talked about that needed talking about. And that's, you know, that's how you do it. You're, for all intents and purposes, incumbent. And then, you know, yeah, that's how we changed the debate. Well, the debate didn't change.
Well, you know what's interesting about the whole thing with Bernie Sanders? And this is how the game is played, people. And this is why I don't say, yes, we should primary Obama. Because this was on the front page of, what was it, Bob? What was it? What was it on the front page of? What was it on the front page of? The top of the headline, what was it? Come on, people. You know how this game is played. That's right. It was on the top of the Drudge Report. Oh, my God, how could that be? And here's the reason, people. Here's the reason you need to understand. Every single dream candidate that you have in your freaking head is not a reality, because nobody is going to get on board with him when you have somebody emotionally invested and financially invested and culturally invested into Barack Obama. It's not going to happen. But here's the rub. Here's the rub, and here's where you get conned. You get conned because the right wing wants Bernie Sanders to keep talking. They're just in the corner going, "Yeah, keep talking."
Let's be square about something. I adore Bernie Sanders.
Oh, I adore him too.
And I understand why he said what he said, but it is not historically relevant or accurate to say that would do any good.
I hear what you're saying, but here's the other bottom line. People always bring up the fact that they want a primary. Can you find somebody in this God's green earth right now?
Look, when Dennis Kucinich isn't interested.
No, he's not interested. I saw on Fire Dog Lake, they said Elizabeth Warren. I said, you gotta be goddamn kidding me.
How about David Petraeus? Ooh.
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren is not going to run for president, people. No. It's not going to happen. So all of these fantasy lists, they don't matter. And here's the point. The point is this. You're wasting your precious energy on this where other areas desperately need it. And that's where the right wing wants to... That's why they're pushing that headline out there. That's why it's at the top of the Drudge Report.
And yet, at the same time, and, you know, there's no chance of me ever voting for him, but... You may have seen this over the weekend or so. Former Louisiana Governor Buddy Romer, who was governor
on C-SPAN.
Yeah, who was governor back before Piyush Bobby, whose name isn't really Bobby Jindal, you know, anchor baby Bobby Jindal became governor because he is one. You know, he's an anchor baby, and that's their term, not mine. I mean,
yeah.
But anyway. He said he's going to run for the Republican nomination.
Oh, good Lord.
No, not Jindal, Romer. Romer, you know, Buddy Romer's going to run for the Republican nomination, and he's going to run, and he's not going to take any money from any corporations, and he's not going to take any Citizens United money, and he's not going to accept anything except contributions from regular Americans.
I bet you Fox News is just dying to have him on the next debate.
Oh, he'll probably be invited. But what I find interesting is, you know where I read about this? I mean, I can't remember the exact site, but
yeah.
It wasn't somebody going, hey, look at the freak. It was at a website that I frequent that said, hey, you know, kind of got to pay attention to this. Because nobody on our side's saying this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the guy is at least marginally saner than, say, you know, Ron Paul.
Right.
And he's not, and we now know with all the Michelle Bachmann has headaches BS that Tim Pawlenty is a backstabbing little weasel.
Yeah.
We know all we need to know about Romer, but I saw an email, and I can't remember who sent it to me yesterday,
right.
That Jeb Bush in being asked, would you run in 2012? You know what? My bet is still alive, David. You know what his answer was?
Your bet is still alive. It's amazing.
You know what his answer was?
Yeah.
Never say never.
I saw that. I thought, Jesus, Kincaid wins again.
You know, if that sucker enters the race, somebody's got to start having me on TV as a, you know, as a goddamn sure enough guru.
If Jeb enters the race, or if Chris Christie enters the race, I'm moving to Canada and I'm going to become a Zamboni driver. That's my plan B.
I always thought that was a, you know, special, yeah, a Zamboni. Yeah. Why not?
I mean,
it looks fun.
It's relaxing. You're on the ice, it's cool. You're not going to get hot. And you can fantasize about being a hockey player while you just drive around.
And they cheer the Zamboni.
That's right. They cheer the Zamboni. To me, that's a win-win situation right there. Now it's a loss. If I still think that the two big ones, if America goes topsy-turvy, and it certainly looks like they're setting up that way with the FAA news, the shutdown of post offices. I think they last count was they're going to close 3,500 post offices. And then there's the whole, you know, what they're doing with the schools and the prison systems in Florida, for God's sakes. They want to privatize more prisons. They're stacking the deck against Obama, and there is no 11-dimensional chess that can conquer.
No, look, see, that's the thing, and, you know, we kind of sort of came to this realization last night, David. It's like, you know, we want him to go do FDR stuff. But I don't think he likes FDR.
Well, you know, I think the thing is that, and this is why I don't personally put any blame on Obama, because here's the way I look at it. It's pressure enough being president, but then you add the added pressure that he's black.
Of being that one president?
Yeah, being that one. And then you add the added pressure that you have to be liked by almost every single sector of society, and you don't want to piss off too many people.
I mean, can you imagine if he actually did liberal things? The right wing is out there ready to, well, I'm not going to say anything, but the right wing is in a high dudgeon just from having been told that he's a socialist. God forbid if he had, you know, actually came out and you know, boldly defended Social Security or actually said that it was Wall Street's fault and Wall Street needed to pay. God forbid he did that. The entire teabag nation would get pitchforks and torches and march on Washington. Of course, they'd ride there in air-conditioned, the easy-ride buses provided by Americans for Prosperity, but you get my idea.
I do, and I think what people who write off Obama as a shill, I would like to rebut that with something. I think it's different when you're on the outside looking in. When you get in, even Obama had that, yep, got it covered. When I get in, got it covered. We're going to do a whole bunch of stuff. You just watch now. And then when he got in, he saw the reality. But to me, it was an example of what Obama knows he can't say was when he gave the rebuttal Friday about the debt ceiling and when he was talking about jobs in this country and America go and hardworking folks and it's not right. You could tell he was having like a mini Alan Grayson moment in his head. He can't be Alan Grayson. He can never be Alan Grayson, people. Do you get that?
I know. I do.
I know,
but the thing is, it's not an and I think the people who might disagree with you, David, would argue that, you know, it's not an all or nothing. It's not Alan Grayson or Barack Obama. And it's just, you know, vacuum dead space in between the planets.
Right.
And
he can't have, you see, but here's the thing.
By the same token, you know, I think of, for instance, I think of our buddy Andy in Redwood City. And, you know, he has, there's no getting around some of this stuff. He really has perpetuated some of the greatest horrors that we were concerned about out of the Bush administration. The domestic spying,
right?
The use of the national security defense. I mean, the ultimate in court Trump card. Let's see. The government's being sued because a government car rear-ended a little old lady on the road to Pasadena at church time on Sunday. National security. Goodbye. You know, because that's how that thing works. And they've used it freely and liberally. Guantanamo is still open.
Well, you see my answer.
You know, there have been, and this is the one that just really makes me want to put my head into the wall. More people, more American soldiers, David, have died in Afghanistan since he took office than died there the entire time Bush was at it. He owns the war dead of Afghanistan.
I think in some ways Obama's kind of like Gil from Glengarry Ross, the Jack Lemmon character. He believes he can handle it. He believes, I can find a way out of this. I know I can. I got to make that sale, though. I can find a way out of this, though, even though I'm in...
Right, because it's Cadillac, knife set, fired.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's what he says.
And the knife set's not in play. It's Cadillac or fired.
Yeah, I mean, that's a... That's a big problem.
But you know, I mean, I do. I'm just reality based. I can't help it, David. And every now and then, I just let it roll because you know I spend my life talking into microphones. I say things out loud every now and then just to find out if I can get there, because being unable to say something would pretty much cripple the broadcast. Say this with me.
Yeah.
President Rick. President Rick Goodhair, you know, and then you can, you know, you can do the Gary Mule Deer typewriter on the shoulder, you know, President Rick Perry today nominated some right wing freak from Idaho to sit on the Supreme Court.
You know it's going to be a done deal when you hear a song written by Toby Keith in Rick Perry's honor. you know he's the one that the Republicans.
But the one thing that does help is that there is a there's a big old closet door that's going to get opened up and looked around in if he decides to run for president. Because the rumors have swirled for years that, you know, he's only pretending to bat for our team.
Right. Well, one last thing before I go, I wanted you to check. You might save this for a prayer meeting Wednesdays. Rick Warren has been on a tizzy tweeting, and he's been saying some crazy, crazy stuff, crazy advice. And isn't it funny? Before I go though, isn't it crazy though that Rick Warren and Marcus Bachmann have the same exact facial hair? How'd that happen?
Ew. my favorite line so far from Bill Maher, so damned hot in Minnesota, Marcus Bachmann went in the closet just to cool off.
Yeah, that is a good one. Well, Bob, I think the deck is stacked against us, and I think the only thing that is left is discussion, dialogue, and planning. And it looks like we're going to have to do a lot of this on our own, community-made human beings.
You mean we're not going to be pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps?
I'm afraid not. That's not going to work.
No. David, have yourself a good night, brother. Good to hear from you.
All right, later, Bob.
Take care. Bye now. Pop culture correspondent David calling from Maine. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob, listen, are you talking about that email I sent you, the coming horror show, the Rick Perry show?
Yeah.
Just like, you know, because I read Roll Call now and then, because, you know, it's pretty dry, but I was just like, oh, no. You know, he's hideous.
I mean, can't you just imagine, and it just hit me, can't you just imagine the announcement when he nominates Sam Brown back to the Supreme Court?
Oh, yeah, and that is...
Or Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions.
Oh, God, you know, shoot me now, but... listen, you scared the shit out of me with the Jeb Bush story. God damn, I missed that. Are you kidding?
No!
Cause that is
well, like, Jebby, would you run in 2012? Never say never.
No, we've been talking about this on the DL for years now, Bob, and it's just kind of like, please, Jesus. But you know what? If Obama seems to think there's some radical center that's quite happy to accept having their retirement cut so they can fund the tax cuts for the wealthy, he seems to think that there is an electorate out there for that thinking. So I think President Not Sure is in the same la-la land that Boner is coming from.
Well, I said I think that last night was kabuki theater for Boner's benefit.
Well, because it's just like, and not only that, but I'm sorry, I can't get with the idea that Obama's going to step out now and talk to these low-information voters and tell these dumbasses to call to facilitate cutting your benefits. Stupid people. It's like they crash in the phones. Do they understand what Obama's asking them to do?
Yeah.
That's the thing. I'm tripping. It's like, no, honeys. You need to back the hell up and hear what he's saying to you. He wants your help so he can cut $3 trillion from the deficit, which means benefits that you assume might be coming your way is getting fucked over. That's the thing that's killing me about Obama. It's like, people, listen to what the dude is saying now. The symbolism, cut. Okay, let's move on and just see what the guy is doing. You know, I'm tripping. You know, I'm like, oh, my God, you know. It's interesting that he came out, a call to action, but the action
is
deception. There's a lot of deceit in what he's doing.
Did
I'm
you
sorry.
See any of the for-profit media coverage earlier today, Sandra? Because I did a little of this, a little of that. And last night, President Obama asked people to call their representatives at a number of or email their representatives, and a number of websites just flat out crashed all over Washington, D.C. And so they're showing on the screen, they're showing like McConnell's has crashed and Boner's has crashed. But see, that's the thing about website numbers. You know, it's one thing to say, well, you know, we got this many clicks. But what did they do when they got there? And the first thing that occurred to me in watching all of that is CNN, they all had one way they wanted you to see it, was that, you know, people were responding to President Obama. Now over on Fox, it was, well, people were responding to Speaker, but no, you know what? A bunch of those calls, because come on, Sandra, this is America. A bunch of those calls were and emails. I'm sorry, I keep saying calls. A bunch of those emails were going into McConnell's office and Boehner's office saying, don't you dare give one inch to that.
Well, yeah,
I mean, don't you think?
Yeah, but the thing is, it's just kind of, I don't really think, you know, the thing that I'm saying is that there is not much daylight between the two. This is the problem. And people are just looking at, oh, Republican, Democrat, and they're still caught up in the old dichotomy of two-party. Welcome and wake up, folks. It ain't two parties no more. It's like, it used to be one and a half. Now I just think it's kind of 0.75, you know?
It's getting real monolithic, isn't it?
It's really bizarre. And so I don't really appreciate it. I'm like, okay, yeah. You know, give me a break from that, because I still haven't heard anybody back away from cutting immediately in an economic environment that is desperate for demand. You see, we need demand. And it's like, they're going to cut. And when it's in recession, when this fool is running, what is he going to say then? My other thing was Daley, Bill Daley, you know who's
right, yeah, chief of staff.
Oh, he expressed surprise that his friend, Bob Donahue, head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, is backing House Speaker's Boehner deficit reduction.
No, really. He acted surprised.
And he's saying, oh, I thought he, earlier today, he said that he was pushing for a big bipartisan compromise. They're using bipartisan as if this is good for us. It isn't.
Well, yeah, that word has been, and that was the messaging, the framing all over the for-profit media that I was watching on TV. You know, maybe they can do what we understand here in America is come to a good old-fashioned American compromise.
No, but see, it's just all gibberish and words, because they are intentionally leaving out what it is that we're compromising on, which is the total finish off of the New Deal, which is what both sides are advocating now.
Well, I mean,
those of us
of a certain 40-something age, are we the only ones in America that are looking around, Sandra, and going, wait a minute, they're screwing us?
Yeah, right. No, it's incredible. You know what? How about they raise the debt ceiling in the blue states and pass that cut cap bullshit in the red states? How about that?
Yeah, why not?
You know? I'm just sort of like, it's an outrage, because see, I can't even talk this way because our side, quote, quote, is not on our side. They want to fuck us over too. And that's what people don't seem to understand. I was trying to talk to a friend of mine, and they just can't get past the blackface. See, I'm talking about my own people now. You know that article I sent you about the black people don't know what the hell they doing?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, and it's just doing my head in. It's like, wake the hell up.
What kind of moment was that in that article that you told me about, the, you know, where look up and go, hey, wait, the black president's bombing Africa. What kind of moment was that?
Oh, what a moment for me?
It was an article you told me about, but you didn't send it to me. It was just one you read.
It was a
something moment, and it just.
Well, I don't know exactly what I said, but it was what's her face, Cynthia McKinney, and it was kind of like. You know, I just thought, oh, my God. Oh, losing innocence. Black people
losing their innocence.
Yeah.
Right.
But unfortunately, black people are also sort of in severe denial, too, because the economic numbers and the total destruction of wealth, the community, the mass incarceration, it has accelerated under this man. And, you know, we got a big problem, because any political scientist that you follow will acknowledge that the black movement or black politics in this country has always been much more attuned and astute than any other group in the country. You agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, they are at risk now.
Because they were dealing in reality.
Of losing that with this man in the White House now. And, you know, it's a big problem. It is a huge problem because, I really don't know what to say. And, you know, I know I always go on about the Obama thing, but it's really doing my head in because I fear that he is in a position to annihilate the core of the Democratic Party and take, you know, a black political awareness with him. And it's just kind of like, good Jesus.
And at that point, it becomes off to the wilderness with you.
Well, it's just a problem because, blacks are losing ground at every level.
Well, but you mentioned the mass incarceration a minute ago, Sandra. Here's a question for you. If these clowns let the default go through, because we've talked about the FAA and we've talked about things that Republicans hate, like WIC and AFDC and Social Security and Medicare and VA payments and stuff like that not going out, what happens to the federal prison system?
Maybe it'll go the way of Katrina. Remember what happened to the prison system there?
Yeah, right. but you know, this is there are aspects of this that, knowing teabaggers and right wingers for what they are, that I think that, you know, there's a real opportunity here to watch the law of unintended consequences go to work with extreme prejudice. All these terrified, pasty-faced, doughy white people with their Confederate flags and their posters and their misspellings and everything, do they really want the door? Well, sorry, we can't. Gotta let you go.
Well, not only that, but also, do you really want the inner cities to explode? Which, you know, we've been there before. And so I'm just saying that, you know, this, it's just not good to have 70% unemployment in communities. I'm sorry, that just don't sound too good.
And now that, but now that the industrial base of America has ground to a screeching halt, Sandra, it ain't just the inner city's going to go sideways.
Well, I know, but I also think it's very interesting. You know, there's been several articles popping up about how black people are like streaming back down south. You seen them articles?
No.
Well, yeah, they all moving from New York. They're all moving back down south in large numbers, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, what in the world? What's happening? You know, I'm not too sure. I think it's because of the economic situation that you're having black folks.
Well, it is in large part cheaper to live down there.
Yeah. And, you know.
Because it's highly subsidized.
Right. But I also am noticing popping up the stories of the, we don't have people picking crops, so, hey, Nignug, can you go pick this shit? You know, that's happening in Georgia.
Cotton, lettuce, same, right. Same.
But the story is, though, but I'm sorry, the black people picking it, I think one guy lasted like a half a day. And he was creeping on out. I mean, I don't mean to make light of it, but it's, you know, it's a comedy of errors. It really is. It's very disturbing. But no, the prison.
Oh, I got to read some of those articles. That's.
Yeah, no, the prison thing is interesting because you get like Walker, who's using prison labor to do union work that he's destroyed.
Right.
So that's going on, right?
Yeah.
Well, you also have the governor of either Alabama or Georgia using parolees to pick crops because they can't get the Mexicans. Because
the Mexicans done bugged out.
Right. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going on, but the work situation is bad. It's bad.
And, you know, that goes back to what we've talked about periodically, what the real unemployment numbers are in this country. Because it ain't no 9%.
Oh, no. I think it's
way north.
It's just really outrageous, the numbers.
16, 20%.
Right.
And the thing is, those are the reason we can't be talking about that is because those are what you call depression numbers.
Yeah, well, no, but it is, you know, it is a depression for some communities, you know?
Yeah.
What do they say? The Latino community is the hardest hit out of all.
Right, because it's the most fragile.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I mean, you know, there's TV shows out there, and I love the reruns of the George Lopez show because he's brilliant. But you know what? There's a lot of people that don't have the house with the patio in the back and everything. There's a lot of people who are, you know, it ain't the Bradys, it ain't the Lopezes, and it ain't the Jeffersons. We're getting a lot closer to good times than we are to moving on up.
Oh, for sure.
But the thing is, in this climate, Sandra, it's the all the old, you know, everything's out the window. All the old paradigms are dead. Because you know, there are parts of white America now where you could film Good Times, and you just, you know, you replace Jimmy Walker with a big goofy white kid.
No, it ain't no Stanford and Son kind of fun either, is it?
No, mm-mm. No.
Listen, no, I just, you know, I don't know. I, a part of me is like, this business that's going on in D.C. is just some really bad theater. It don't really make no sense, but I noticed that Christine Lagarde, she chimed in basically saying, you know, you bitches need to sort your shit out. That's the head of the
Right. That's Dominique Strauss-Kahn's replacement.
Right.
Well, yeah, y'all best straighten up.
Yeah, she looks pretty damn severe, too, that one. I'm like, yikes. But anyway, I suppose it shouldn't make light of it, but it's a bit much. So did you have a chance to look at that video of the Wisconsin try to get a goddamn ID?
Oh, that was, yeah.
Wasn't that nice?
And with the, with the $28 fee that if you don't check the box, you just signed on to a poll tax?
No, I love the woman. The woman was straight up. She was like, had all her, she was great. All the questions she asked, you know, the way she framed it, everything was good. That's a really good video for people.
And she's got a recording, and that means, you know, somewhere out there, there's a Democratic lawyer with a soul who's going, you know what, I'd like to try this one.
Yeah, no, anyway, but I was just kind of like, oh, wow. So, you know, we're being squeezed, and I don't really know what the 2012 is going to look like. But I tell you what, if Jeb jumps in, that shit is going to be going off.
Game on.
It's going to be going off, and it'll be popcorn, but it may be popcorn for me in England, because it'll be bye-bye. Anyway, listen, I'll let you go. I know you got them lined up, so take care.
All right, Sandra, take care. See ya. Bye now. Popcorn in England. Do they call it popcorn over there, or do they call it corn crisps? Or, oh, Jesus, you're being a jerk, Bob. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
Bob Thomas.
Hey, Thomas, what's up?
Well, if I call you and let you know, David, if he gets a Zamboni, he can watch the hockey game for free.
Hey, you know, another fringe benefit.
Yeah, but, you know, I sent you an email and, you know, I told you about the little things that were going through, but I let you know that little man said happy, happy. You kind of want to know about that.
Yeah.
Little man, let's see how I explain him. He's 8 years old now. He has a genetic disease called Prader-Willi, such that he can't eat food because he can weigh a ton of pounds real fast.
Oh, God.
But he's also autistic. So, you know, the food porn won't do him much good. but he can't talk such that, you know, so Mo and I, we watch over him. We take every free moment we have to watch him. And so there's a word he always says that we know he's happy. He says, Abbott, Abbott. Well, Thursday, you know, with all the financial stuff coming down on us,
mm-hmm.
he said, happy, happy. And we were elated. It was the highlight of our day.
That's a moment to treasure for the rest of your days, Thomas.
Yeah. So, you know,
happy.
Yes. Oh, those words sound really excited and happy. They were. So, you know, I see everything going on in Washington D.C. I follow it all, but you know, every once in a while, there's always a good thing out there.
Well, and you know what? That's the right way to approach this stuff, because if you've got some degree of perspective, you know, I complain and carp about, you know, stuff going wrong around here. Even if the roof leaks, even if the roof leaks, Thomas, it is a roof.
Correct. Yeah. You know, it's like
there's plenty of folks ain't got one.
Yeah, but well, you know, they probably only plenty of folks only have a tent.
Yeah.
So you know that makes it a little tough.
There's a lot of people in a lot of places in this country that have reason to dread the coming of winter. And a lot of, you know, it seems like as long as I've been around, we've had a homeless problem in this country, but it keeps getting worse.
Yeah,
and we keep trying not to look at it.
The thing is I don't remember it before Reagan. I don't remember seeing it before Reagan. And then you started seeing it. And I see it, you know, leaving my work every day. They're on the highway bridges with their signs, "New work, anything will help, God bless you, praise the Lord," and all that stuff, and go, you know, if all these people have praised the Lord, we gave a darn, they do something about it.
Yeah, right. Don't stand by the side of the, and I'm not trying to be insensitive, don't stand by the side of the road. Go knock on the door of the houses of worship and see if you can convince them to do what that itinerant day laborer Palestinian suggested that they should be doing.
Yeah, it's like one of the things I'm looking at having to cut back is I give over $1,000 to United Way. Now I've got to look at slicing the people that have the lease, and that just tears me apart. It's like I'm not going to have the money to keep funding it like I've always have, as I said. That's going to be a funding source, so it might be a $10 copay for somebody, but now that copay might go up $10, and they ain't going to have it. And they're not going to get the service they need.
You know what? If we could populate this country, Thomas, with people who think the way you do and the way everybody else out here at the Horn does, because that's sort of a prevalent way of looking at things, a lot of problems would go away. Because when you're motivated from that side and from that standpoint, then your motivation extends into government. It extends into participation. And yet, you know, that's been one of the primary successes of these teabag and horses rear ends, and that is that they have convinced people that, you know, it's straight out of Ayn Rand, that there is a virtue of selfishness.
Yeah, and David Dan touched on it today about the $340-some he had to pay as a copay on medical. That was now he doesn't have the $350 to go hire some supplemental help to fill it out, and says I'm going to have to work longer and not hire somebody, and that has a ripple through effect.
Yeah,
and
there's your job creators, Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, the job creators aren't these obscene pigs in their hedge fund corner offices on Wall Street. They're not job creators.
No,
you know, we are, okay, they want to call themselves job creators. Why don't we come up with a name of our own for what we are? And we are culture sustainers. Civilization sustainers.
Well, actually, you know, you can go back to Lincoln, and all capital comes from the worker. Things don't come into being unless somebody makes it. That's it. You know, it's like David with talking about this shovel, who made a shovel? Well, who dug the iron ore?
Yeah. I mean, it goes back. No, there is, and like I said, for the entirety of human history and prehistory, that is the scenario that obtains. No one accomplishes anything by yourself. If you're shunned by the tribal group in Paleolithic France, you're a dead man. Because, you cannot on your own do what needs to be done. You can't build the fire, the search for the roots and berries, and go out and hunt the big beasts all by yourself.
Yeah, and I guess that's a perfect compliment to they want it all, is go, you're on your own.
Yeah, they want it all, and we're on our own.
Yeah. So,
the bumper sticker gets a little bit bigger, but I think that actually adds to the meaning of it.
Yeah, well, but it, you know, the two are tied together. They're in a deadly embrace. So we'll see what happens. Good to hear.
good to talk with you tonight.
Oh, it's good to talk to you, bye-bye. Thomas. Thanks so much for calling in. Bye now.
Sure.
Thomas calling from Ohio. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's your favorite cab driver.
Hey, what's how the fares today, Tracy?
Actually, I didn't really work today. Well, today's my airport day, but you know what I did this afternoon before I went and picked up my school run kid?
Drove by AT&T and threw rocks.
That too, because yes, how many times did I drop? I was on your line when you first started, but yeah, cab driver the damn call. But no, I went to my representative's office today. Representative Howard Berman of the 26th District of California.
Okay. Not generally a total jackass.
Not generally. And so I don't know if you heard about this, but Van Jones. I keep trying to call that man Van Johnson. I'm sorry, Van Jones. I guess his organization, Reveal the Dream, had this mass thing out today. For people to, by noon today, whatever, you know, time zone you were in, to go to your representative's office and, you know, file your grievances and see what's going to happen. And so, at first I wasn't going to go because I figured, you know, it's going to be a, you know, nobody's going to show up because, you know, they figure he's a Democrat, so why bother? But, and I actually sat there for an hour and a half, you know, rejecting calls, and then I noticed people were starting to mill about. So we, you know, by noon, there was about 30 people. And so what the leader of Move On organization, which tickled me because I guess I'm a member of Move On. And funny, the only thing they ever asked of me of money, they never even told me that they were going to show up there, but that's another conversation. So anyway, so we go upstairs to the office, and his representative was there. And, man, you talk about some angry white folks. Wow. Because they were so angry, and, you know, they were pretty much yelling at this poor woman, and, you know, the leader of the group had to say, you know what, it's not her fault. But the gist of the conversation was, it may not be her fault, and it may not be our representative's fault, but what is he doing so we don't think it's his fault? Has he stood up on the House floor and said, this, you know, there's no way that we're going to even think about slashing Medicare and Medi-Cal and Social Security and whatnot and so forth? What is he doing? I mean, it was a pretty interesting. I couldn't stay the whole time because I actually had to go to work, but I did video some of it, and I'll send you the. I'll email you because you know I had to run my mouth, and so, and I think I did scare the white people. See, the problem with a lot of white folks is that they, and no, how do I say this? And that sound horrible. Okay, screw it. A lot of white folks are not comfortable around intelligent black people, as evidenced by the way our president has been treated. And they're not used to a person, you know, of color, black, Hispanic, or what have you, having, you know, any kind of political discourse or anything, you know, adding to the debate or anything like that. Because, like I said, I was the darkest person there, and I was the most vocal. And what I saw, what tickled me was, like I said, a lot of people were angry, but there were really no solutions. I said, so, you know, what I basically said is the problem with Democrats, you know, because they were screaming about why don't we have our message out and why do we let, you know, people, you know, like, you know, Grover Norquist and the Heritage Foundations and all that. Where is our Grover Norquist? Where is our Heritage Foundation? And what I said is the problem with Democrats are we are free-thinking people. We're educated people for the most part.
And we don't take marching orders.
And we don't take marching orders, exactly. We think for ourselves. And the problem with that is there are so many damn messages floating around, you know, in the ether about this situation that we can't come to an agreement as to what we should talk about. And I said, basically, what we need to, what is the KISS, keep it simple, stupid?
Yeah, and it's also the fact that the water has been so thoroughly muddied. Insofar,
I mean,
easy, simple, elegant solutions are hard to come by under these circumstances because we can't necessarily even agree on the terms of the debate, Tracy.
And that's the problem with the Democratic Party, and that's what I basically said. We cannot come to an agreement. But
and, you know, one of the things that these political folks have to be taught, because, you know, sometimes we give them too much credit, Tracy. And we pretend that they have a greater degree of knowledge and understanding than they actually do. And what I mean by that is it's not enough to say keep your hands off Medicare and Social Security and it is not part of the negotiating process. We have to follow up by showing them that we know more than they do. We have to show them that, we have to tell them the things that we know. For instance, you know, the fact that the debt is not the crisis that it's being made out to be simply because the debt is in the same, you know, we borrow to solve, we deal with the debt in the same currency the debt is in.
Exactly.
And that comes courtesy of both Benedict and Sandra. But other things like the fact that, you know, just remind them, Social Security is solvent and will remain solvent. Tell them, you know, the answer to Medicare is not to kill Medicare. The answer to Medicare is to make Medicare available for all Americans who want it, and it will become solvent overnight.
Overnight. And see, and these are what we, you know, and one lady in the office in the group said, you know, everything that you just said, the money, instead of, you know, trying to pander to these fools in Washington, we need to start getting all those messages and use the money that we send to Move On and to Emily's List and to, you know, reelect Barack Obama and whatnot and so forth, and make our own billboards and put those points up. These are the things that the Democratic Party for so much, you know, needs to fight for, and this is what Americans want. It is just that simple. And if we have to take it upon ourselves, because what I basically said to these people were, we need to take our anger and our disgust and our general, just like you said, vomitous feelings that we have about what's going on, and channel that energy. And if it has, you know, it's only by us. It's only by the grassroots efforts of Americans as a whole that we're going to get anything done. And, you know, if President Obama is reelected in 2012, then we cannot become lackadaisical, because a lot of people were under the, under the misnotion or what have you, that, okay, everything's great in this country, now we have a black president, and we're good.
Yeah, it's all going to get, the sunshine and violets.
You know, sunshine and puppy dogs and bubbles and you know, and trip, you know, tiptoeing through the tulips and whatnot and so forth, but that's not what happened. Racism is not going anywhere. And if anything else, the racial divide got even wider and people got crazier.
Well, can I be a real gloomy Gus here for just a minute, Tracy?
Yeah, it's not fair. You could do the gloomy Gus because I'm not at home and I cannot drink because I am working, but go ahead.
Ooh. I'm just going to be Buzzkill Bob for a minute here.
Okay.
And I hate even acknowledging this, but it seems like an element of reality that has to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
We had, the insertion of George W. Bush into the office of the presidency in 2000 created a lot of fury in the United States.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we just found out in the last couple of days that, yes, in fact, how about that? They really did steal Ohio in 2004 to give us a second Bush term. And you know, just as an aside, I think about John Kerry walking away from that fight when John Edwards is standing there going, wait a minute! Not that was just stopped! And he had $45 million in his campaign war chest at the time. And it just...
And he just walked away.
Just makes me scream. But there are...
In the words of Brother Marvin, makes me want to holler, throw up both my hands.
Right. And so, I hate
breathe,
to say...
Breathe.
Letting go now, letting go now, letting everything go.
Let it go.
I don't like to acknowledge this reality, but it is impossible not to.
And
there are a lot of organizations, and there are a lot of people who have grown fat on oppositional politics. Okay, the horn ain't one of them.
No,
but there are
Rush
a lot.
Limbaugh, literally and figuratively, has grown.
Yeah, but the thing is, Tracy, and I gotta drive this one home. There's a lot of people on our side. Okay,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of organizations out there that tapped into that fury and that anger in 2000 and have continued tapping it ever since. You know, the reason that Barack Obama got all the money he got is because, I mean, the first time around was because there was a whole lot of, you know, the vengeance against Bush going into those contributions. And so I guess what I'm saying here is that if crap goes sideways in 2012, there are people out there that will be financially better off for it having gone sideways who are on our side.
Exactly. And we're not going to name names.
No. I mean, I don't necessarily know that I could name names. But, well, there's some out there. I mean, look at, here's a name I don't mind naming, Fire Dog Lake. Jane Hampshire.
Yeah.
Okay, their stock in trade is opposing whoever's in there. On the other side, everybody thought for the 8 years of George W. Bush that Alex Jones had become some sort of liberal. But surprise, with the election of Barack Obama, by God, well, you know, he's obviously a perpetrator of the new. He's a perpetrator of the new world order. Yeah, you have to, if you're going to do Alex Jones, you have to sound like, you know, you've got this Selma Diamond in your throat. You know, New World Order, FEMA camps, conspiracy. And so they get the money from that side. There's an element of that, Tracy, that just makes me want to scream, because the people who are giving into these things, on the right and on the left, what left? Are doing it in good faith, and they're doing it as
good.
And they do it because they want to do good, and they want to be doing something. But the something they're doing is
horrible, and it's tearing this country apart. And you know, like you said. Did you? Because I kind of, like I said, kept losing the call, and the only way I can really listen to the show is when I call in and stay on hold. But didn't you say something about say it with me, President Perry? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Just say President Bachman a few times. Say President Perry.
Say President Bachman. Say President Romney. And
what,
like I said,
no. Here's one for you. Because after all, he did say never. Say President Bush. Say it for me.
I can't.
And see if it doesn't just hang in your throat like a bone.
Well, I will be gagging, and we will no longer be able to conversate. So, you know, like I said to these people, what I said about, you know, because they were bitching about, you know, President Obama, and what did you call him, President? I don't know what to do.
Oh, President, not sure?
Not sure. And, you know, they're like, well, why doesn't he stand up to these people and blah, 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 blah. And these are white people. And I'm like, wow. I said, and, you know, me having to interject my blackness into the conversation, I said, because it's not in his DNA, sweetie. I said, President Obama is the noble Negro. He is Sidney Poitier in Lilies of the Field, and guess who's coming to dinner, when he really needs to try to be Sidney Poitier and In the Heat of the Night and Bucking the Preacher.
Yeah,
I mean, and I said, and I'm not even saying Superfly, you know, or Shaft, you know, black. I'm just trying to say Sidney Poitier black. But I said the problem is because if any time he raises his voice or tries, you know, even looks like he's getting belligerent, then they look, oh, he's the angry black guy, and it's like, really? Like I said, you don't know angry black guy. You could not handle angry black guy. You know, because see, angry black guy is more like angry me. Angry, you know, I said, you know, the angry black guy that you guys are so afraid of, that's something that Obama can never do. Because he doesn't know I'm pretty sure Michelle can do angry black guy much better than Barack, than our president can, you know. But the thing is, he's never, he is not a progressive. He is not a...
No, but God almighty, do you remember when the, do you remember that New Yorker cover? The New Yorker cover with the caricature of the Obamas standing in the White House, and Michelle's got that big old Angela Davis afro going for her?
No, see, I didn't see that.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, you know, and you know, it was the New Yorker, for Christ's sakes.
The New Yorker went there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
See, and it's these things, you know, and these are the things that have... You know,
because there's a whole lot of philosophical distance between Barack Hussein Obama and Stokely Carmichael.
A whole lot. Between, you know, a whole lot. Between him and Martin Luther King Jr., between him and any black power, you know, just...
You know, there's philosophical space between that you can drive a bus through between him and John Lewis. And John Lewis is in the House of Representatives.
Exactly.
And John Lewis marched with Dr. King, but they, you know, and frankly, I don't know how much kumbaya there is between the Congressional Black Caucus and Barack Obama, but they are
about as much as it is between Barack Obama and the progressive, you know, caucus. You know, say it together, President Blackman.
Yeah, and like I said, talking to Sandra and David in Tennessee. Sure, and David in Tennessee had just emailed at the same time it was coming out of my mouth. Just imagine the news story with the sad death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. A vacancy was created on the Supreme Court of the United States. Today, President Perry announced his selection to fill that seat. Senate confirmation hearings in the Republican Senate will begin next week for Supreme Court Justice Designee Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III of Alabama.
And at that point, like I said,
and that's, you know, and we're all going to sit on the airliner next to Sandra and eat our popcorn in England, right?
Well, I'm going to Canada. I could be a but as the thing, what was that thing that they
Zamboni?
Zamboni.
Yeah, it's probably not that far from cab driver to Zamboni driver.
Well, see, the thing is, I don't like hockey, and I know, and so that would be out for me. I could probably drive a cab in Canada. As long as I got a GPS and a map, I can drive a cab anywhere. But the thing is, I could actually become a political refugee. I think I would be able to seek political asylum.
Well, it's like News Ninja Susan the other night saying, you know, because she's Wiccan, that she could go to Canada and apply for asylum as a persecuted religious minority. Once a fundamentalist,
exactly.
Like, you know, and they're all fundies of some sort or another. I mean, my God, the Mitt Romney believes that when he dies, he's going to have his own private planet that he's going to get to populate entirely with the ghost of his wife.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, he believes that...
The magic underpants.
Yeah, oh, and, you know, and Jesus and Satan are literal physical brothers. Okay, so, you know, I mean, so, you know, he's of one stripe, you know, Bachman, oh dear God,
well, you know, God,
you know, they got their homo nomo clinic going on,
and if Marcus Bachman is, oh God,
she got a law degree from Oral Roberts University, and that law program at Oral Roberts University was put into place by a guy named Herb Titus, Tracy.
And who is that?
Herb Titus is an ultra-right-wing trial lawyer. He's the guy who defended, represented Roy Moore in Alabama in his attempt to put the 2.6-ton Ten Commandments rock in the yard. Okay? And he believes that every law created by man is trumped by whatever he imagines to be the law of God that day.
That day. So it's the law according to what I, you know, that because God came down to him like he did to Moses with the Ten Commandments.
All the time. All the time. I mean, they have oatmeal together. Yeah.
They chill together.
Yeah.
And, you know, my thing is, and as fed up and as tired as, you know, one of my favorite saying is, you know, we are hotter than fish grease at this point. And you being a Southern boy know how hot fish grease
is. It's real hot.
It's real hot. So my suggestion is to, I scared the white people into, you know, thinking, oh my gosh, she's one of those crazy liberal Negroes. I'm like, look, we cannot sit on our laurels. We have to fight. We have become complacent. We have become, you know, like I said, unfortunately, the problem besides being, you know, most Democrats, and like I said, I don't really consider myself a Democrat, but as far as the Democratic Party and as a whole is concerned, they have this problem with, they figure everybody is reasonable. That, you know, that these people cannot be this crazy, that they cannot be this crazy, that they're just saying this to be reelected or to get...
No, they're that crazy.
They are that crazy.
Yeah, and Tracy, you know how you've only recently discovered our good buddy Alan West?
Was black? God, I'm so far.
Yeah.
I'm still God!
Yeah, with the fade. You know, see, I'd even forgotten that word, the fade.
The high top fade?
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. I always think of Grace Jones when I think of that.
Right, and I think that's how we had to, because I think they were like, the chat room went ablaze. What? High top? What? Fade? What? And you had to say Grace Jones, and like, oh, or Kid and Play. Oh, okay, we got it. Okay.
Oh, God, Kid and Play.
Right.
Holy
right.
cow.
Yeah. Holy Jesus.
Yeah, because see, all of that kind of disappeared with NWA and stuff like that, you know, and it's like...
Yeah. And CBE and all that.
Right.
Whatnot, so forth. So high top fade and all that went away.
But I got to share another Alan West story for you.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and there you are driving around. Yeah, don't take out...
No, I pulled over.
Okay, don't take... I was going to say, because I don't want to be responsible for you taking out no light pole, okay?
No, because, see, I had to pull over because, remember, I have concluded that if I'm not at home and I actually get a signal, I must pull over and stay in that very spot so I can talk to
with
you.
One arm out the window right.
And my antenna up with the tinfoil on it and a coat hanger.
Okay, so I got this from Texas Betsy yesterday, and this is a real screamer. Headline, at Alan West-sponsored event, group paints thousands of Muslims as terrorists. So this takes place in the basement of the Rayburn House office building. You know, our Rayburn House office building, Tracy?
Right.
Where a group called Citizens for National Security held a mass meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And they announced the compilation of a list of nearly 6,000 individual human beings and 200 organizations that they have decided are connected to the Muslim Brotherhood. I didn't see the list yet. I sure hope the horn's on it.
And they compiled this list from who? How did they get these people?
Prayed over it, got slain in the spirit. Yeah, hard to say.
It was a vision?
They had a big PowerPoint presentation down there in the basement of the Rayburn House office building. Their PowerPoint presentation had line graphs and pie charts, and their pie charts were accented with bullets instead of arrows. And the Muslim Brotherhood, it's a massive conspiracy, and their long-term goal is absorbing America into the Islamic World Caliphate.
So, you know, so we're following Sharia law now. And I bet you 9 out of 10 people who say Sharia law don't even know what that means.
No, well, this audience does.
Well, I'm talking about the people who say it.
It means communism.
Right. It means
because these are, these, you know, all of these right-wing groups, Tracy, are just recycles. They're recycled over from the John Birch Society. They're recycled from the militia movement. They're recycled from the Patriot movement. They're recycled from the freaking Klan, okay? They're just retreads. And they just put a new, they're recycled, you know, their granddaddy was a John Bircher with the, in the McCarthy era, you know, where even Eisenhower was a communist.
They have so many spin cycles that, you know, no washing machine could keep up with how many spin cycles.
So they got their, right, so they got their, they got their tuna sandwiches and their ham salad sandwiches and their turkey sandwiches all laid out there. Beef, turkey, and tuna sandwiches. No pork. Yeah.
No pork.
Yeah, now see, that makes me wonder.
Swining and dining, no pork on my fork.
Yeah, but you know, why these people are anti-Muslim. Why aren't they eating pork?
Why
I can be paranoid too, you know.
I love me some pork. I'm
Oh.
Man, don't give me some.
Yeah, don't. No, we can't go there. We cannot go there.
We can't go there because I can already see the chat room screaming at me like, enough with the food porn, Tracy and Bob, please stop.
Right. And so they lay out this presentation that shows that there's been a 49-year stealth Muslim Brotherhood plot. It's going to infiltrate the new United States through a vast web of organizations.
Do you know that, okay, for those of us who think and read, I mean, you know, liberals or whatever, do you know that the majority of Muslims that are in America are Christians?
Say, what,
They don't even practice
anymore. Non-practicing, right. Well, that's like, you know, 80% of Americans, oh, we're Christians, but they ain't in church. It was a watershed moment when American atheists announced earlier in the year that it turned, based on the Pew Research polling data, 20% of America is either agnostic, atheist, or doesn't even bother to think about such stuff.
Exactly. And I don't go to church. My mother, it drives my mother crazy because, you know, she's actually going to school to become a minister, and God bless her, but guess what school she's going to?
Oh, no. If it comes with guess what school she's going to, if you tell me Bob Jones, I'm going to run screaming.
No. Pretty close. Where are you from? Where do you live? West Virginia?
Yeah.
What's the school? Is it in Virginia or West Virginia? Liberty University.
Oh, no. It's in Virginia.
Okay. Now, to my mom's credit, she is not the typical, what you would call the typical student at Liberty University, because we go back, they have to have these, you know, because she's doing it online.
Yeah, but one of these days you're going to have to drop this one on her, Tracy, because you know who one of the primary benefactors of Liberty University was in years not too long past?
Well, Pat Robinson, right?
No, this is Jerry. That's Jerry. No, Liberty is Jerry Falwell's. Yeah, but no, they got in bad financial trouble. Guess who bailed them out?
Who?
Reverend Sun Myung Moon.
Oh, yeah. Isn't he? He's not Christian, is he?
No, not even a little bit.
Not even.
No, Reverend Moon teaches that Jesus was a failure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why it falls to Reverend Moon to get it all straight.
And that's what, right up there with who was one of the primary shareholders of, you know, for Rupert Murdoch. What body print? Yeah, him. So it stands to reason that the same people that you are screaming bloody murder against are the ones that are coming to your aid. But like I said, to my mom's credit, she goes toe-to-toe. Because, you know, I don't know if you've ever taken an online class, but a lot of times you have to do, you know, post your view on, you know, discussion boards and whatnot and so forth. And my mom can be pretty radical, even though she won't admit to it. I know she voted for Bush in 2004, I know she did, but I'm not, you know, because she kind of lost her mind for a minute. She became an evangelical Christian, And I know she just won't tell me she voted for Bush, but I know. And it's like, it's okay, Mom. I forgive you if you did. But she came to her senses because she started realizing, you know, and listening closely to what these people had to say. And they're like, she's like, that's not the Jesus that I serve. And that's not the Jesus who I know loves me. We still have our arguments about homosexuality. That's the big
one of those generational ones, Tracy.
That's the but remember, my mom's only 16 years older than me, honey. So that's not really generational. That's not old enough to be generational. My mom is, let's see, gonna be,
That's one, okay, then that's one you just have to win with the Bible because, you know, Mom, how many times does Jesus mention the poor and how we treat the poor? Oh, a lot. How many times does he mention gay people? None.
Never. Okay, and she's getting better. I mean, like I said,
if she's actually studying scripture and stuff, you have got to, and I do mean got to. She got a Kindle yet? Does
no.
She have, okay, so we're going to have to go with hard copies. Get down to your Books a Million or wherever you go to buy books. And get
what
her.
You mean, there's no such thing as bookstores anymore. So you mean go online and go where?
Well, okay, I get it. but order her hard copies of two books by Bart Ehrman. Bart Ehrman. Bart Ehrman.
Okay.
This guy was a real live fundamentalist once upon a time. And then he got him some schooling. I mean, a graduate of the Moody Bible Institute. Everything, okay.
Ooh, wow.
But then everything started changing when he went to pursue a master's degree at Princeton University.
Oh, those darn liberal colleges.
Yeah, they got their hooks in him. But he's got two books out there. The most important one is called Misquoting Jesus. And the other one is called Forged. Give those to Mama for her birthday,
which is in November. Okay.
Yeah, give them to her to celebrate Labor Day. Get them in her, and don't be saying this is gonna make so much, because all it does is it teaches people, lay people like you and me, the stuff that scholars get, and that the scholars in the pulpit generally don't tell the marks in the audience. I'm sorry, congregation. No.
The congregation, so you don't call the people marks. It's a congregation.
I'm sorry. But, you know, the stuff in there about how the actual New Testament came to be. And stuff that got left out and stuff that was changed. And, no, you'll read them and then you'll give them to Mama.
I'm going to highlight stuff and underline stuff and circle stuff. And like I said, my mom is an awesome individual. Remember I told you the story what she did when, you know, the old mean white lady made me cry about how I spelled my name wrong. And my mom has always been a rebel. And I often wonder, you know, in her own quiet way, she was a rebel. And I often wonder what would have happened had she not had me and been married at 16. I had this feeling that she would have been like an Angela Davis kind of person. And, you know, I'm happy that she found, cause, you know, religion or whatever it is that makes her happy and at one with herself and God and whatnot and so forth. And like I said, to her credit, she is not a fundamentalist. She kind of lost her mind for a minute and we kind of had a parting of the ways. Because I'm very stubborn, and I don't know if you've noticed.
No.
Opinionated, too. No. And so, but we have an understanding that, you know, the main thing is that we know that Jesus loves everybody. You know, regardless of what Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann et al. Say, he does love everybody, regardless of who you are, what you do, and everything like that. And like I was, like you said, where in the Bible? The only time Jesus goes off, really, is when he went through the temple and kicking out the money changers.
Yeah, the hedge fund managers.
The hedge fund managers and whatnot and so forth. I don't remember where he actually laid hands on these people. There was no bodily harm done to these people. It was just, he was turning, knocking over tables. And if, you know, I'm pretty sure somebody's saying something in the chat room about that. But I don't, do you remember him touching, actually physically touching anybody?
No. Well, no, I mean, you know, isn't there mention that he had a lash?
That's what I'm saying. Like I said, I'm no Bible scholar. But the point being is that if to find, you know, to actually...
But it was worse. It was worse, Tracy, because, you know, they got after him then because he went after the money.
He went after, and as Tracy always says, it's never about race. They make you think it's about race, but it's about the money.
Yeah.
When you start pulling and messing with people's purse strings, that is when you start having people get.
Well, it's when you. Wait. It's when you start messing with the powerful's purse strings, Tracy.
Powerful purse strings, right?
Because the land owners and the money. Yeah,
right now,
2011 America, Washington, D.C., and the moneyed classes on Wall Street and both coasts or whatever are pretty sure that they can rob us blooming blind. And that we will sit complacently in our seats as long as the cable stays on.
As long as the cable stays on, and people could talk about how big Kim Kardashian's
at. But look at the trouble that got started just by mentioning that maybe it's time to let the Bush tax cuts expire. By God, they did everything but ride out for the White House in their sheets and pillowcases, didn't they?
It's just like, you know, no matter what. We do know, you know, because we started talking about messing with the money classes, money. Because, like you said, they could take our money. They could take our Social Security. They could take our Medicaid. They could take our food stamps, our WIC, our heat, to keep people's heat on in the winter, you know, and their electricity.
Yeah, we're okay. They'll never miss it. They'll never miss it.
They won't miss it. And so what if Grandma has to pay?
Didn't deserve it in the first place.
They didn't need it in the first place because they should have been pulling their happy asses up with their own goddamn bootstraps.
Score.
She shoots and she freaking scores.
Nothing but net. Hey Tracy, I got to run, darling. I'm going to try to get a couple more in.
But as usual, Bob, keep on pushing, honey. I'm gonna go back to work right now so I can make some money so I can send you some money too. I actually got you some more listeners and I told people.
Don't bless your heart.
Listen to Pop Kincaid. He has knowledge, and you know, as much as I love Stephanie and Randy, they're making money. They don't need no more. Listen to Pop.
Yeah, and I mean but that's where I go when I want fart jokes.
Right, exactly. And by the way, if you get a chance, because I know they do a rebroadcast of Stephanie on Green 960 or whatever. I think she comes on after Malloy's broadcast tonight. I called into Stephanie's show. And it was a riot, you know, because like you said, you could only be on there for a few minutes. But if you get a chance, and listen to what I said, I think you'll get a kick out of it. So, sweetie, like I said, God bless you, God keep you, and you know I'm gonna keep calling you until you say, you know what, Tracy, don't call him no more.
No, see, I'm not gonna do that.
I know that.
I can't recall running anybody off.
You know, I just like saying that so you can say, oh, you know, you can call me. You're my ray of sunshine, and you might be the only.
I've been called a lot of things in this life, but ray of sunshine ain't never been one of them.
Well, like I said, you know, you're the only reason why people, you know, like I said, so you keep on pushing and, you know, breathe, baby, breathe. You know, in with the good, out with the bad.
Sometimes it gets a little difficult. All right, Tracy, you drive careful.
Okay.
See you.
Always. Bye.
Bye now. You'll go home and have her a Sam Adams summer ale. I bet you. I just bet you. And so I guess that brings us to the end of tonight's program. Had a couple of blinking lights, but didn't work out. Those may have been two other of Tracy's dropped calls. Yeah. Hey, AT&T, I got to tell you, AT&T is, they're just awesome, aren't they? Yeah. Let's see. Betsy. Okay, I seem to recall you ran off one time, just saying. Thanks, Betsy. Okay. Okay, I ran off that little right-wing punk kid who was getting talking points from his daddy once, okay? That, when I say people, I don't mean right-wingers. Understood? Yeah. I've run off a couple of wing nuts here and there. I think they even quit emailing. Freaks. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, my God. You got me again, and I didn't mean for you to get me again.
Oh, okay. Just want to close out the program?
Okay, sure.
Okay. No, I mean, you want to just put you on hold to the end, or did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. There's other people on hold wanting to talk.
No, there aren't, but I've just got to do the business of wrapping up.
Yeah, just wrap it up so I can listen.
All right. Stand by. Someday I will have a producer who will, like my producer used to do, write down names in order. And
do you really want to go there, Bob? Yeah. He could have his producer if he would just take her back, but oh no, stubborn man that he is. Thank you all, and I miss you.
The fan club misses you, Agnes.
I love them.
you love her. You guys love her more than you love me. I know. You're all sitting out there, you know what, if they ever split up, I'd get Agnes in the settlement. But it is time to bail out and bug out about 4 minutes before the hour. Thank you very kindly to you for your kind contributions this evening. The chat room will be paid for post-haste. And we're going to do a little other bill paying, too, because not a lot of bill paying, but some bill paying, because it just kind of has to happen. Thanks go out as ever to everybody who makes all of this go. Oh, see, yeah, Texas Betsy. Yeah. You ran off Agnes? How could you? You know, it's like I got a, I just checked in on a, I just checked on in on a, on a, on a tweet that was mentioned earlier based on the beginning of the program. Oh, where'd it go? Mentioning the fact, you know, oh no, Bob's afraid of HD just like Katie Couric. No, I'm much more afraid of HD than Katie Couric. Katie Couric at least, you know, looks okay in the right light. I look good in the dark. You people, Nordic noses, afraid of HD. And Jeb, I will get to your I'll get to your comment on I've got it saved here. I'll get to your comment on tomorrow night's show. But no, thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. Lottie in the chat room, our news ninjas Gene and Susan, Texas Betsy, our blogger. Thanks to Reverbo, Cavalcade of Crazy at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There will be another installment coming. Reverbo has been on a spirit cleansing journey to the beach, I think. Thank you, John Fox, for all that you do and all you put up with from me in terms of my technical inexpertise. And thank you, Ben Birch, who works tirelessly and has since 2002. It can never be said enough that Ben Birch literally saved liberal talk on the internet by starting WhiteRoseSociety.org. And he's been at it for 9 long years now. He's never sent a bill. It's worth remembering. He needs help, too. WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks, of course, to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Go by. Become a member. It's cheap and easy. And you will be a part of the most in-your-face opposition to the horrors being transacted against Appalachian people that there is. CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.